You are listening to the life-changing power of Ayurveda. Wisdom so transformational, you'll feel healthy, nourished, and vibrant just from listening. My name's Talia Lutzker, and I will be your host. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the life-changing power of Ayurveda. I am so happy you're here. My name is Talia Lutzker. I am your host, and today I am talking to Jennifer Ray, who is a dear, sweet friend of mine. I adore her, and she is an amazing practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine as well as yin yoga. She's a licensed herbalist, acupuncturist, holistic nutritionist. She has so much to share with us today. If you've never checked out any of her yin yoga online, she is a phenomenal teacher, and it's very easy to find her on YouTube. She offers classes, retreats, teacher trainings online, and lots of in-person consultations. So I'm so excited to talk with you today, Jennifer. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Talia. It's so great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm super stoked to really just share this space with you.
Yeah, me too. I love talking to you, as you know, because we really are becoming such good friends, which I love. And you were on my summit last year, I forget what it was called, the Radical Vitality Summit. Yeah. And I just really, you have such a special, unique perspective on vitality, energy, wellness, because you spend so much of your, I would say, like your teaching currency, really getting into the yin of wellness. And the name of our talk today is Consistency, the Key to Calm and Grounding. And I'd love to just jump in with you by talking about why you decided to have that be the theme for this summit.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I do want to just say thank you so much for having me. I'm super honored to be a part of the summit, especially considering, you know, all of the other teachers and speakers that are on the summit. So thank you. I think we talked, and I was sort of thinking about the theme and thinking about how I think oftentimes calm and grounding is really the key for so many of us. You know, we're living in a world that is incredibly complex at times. There's really this sense of speed that many of us are dealing with that really is trapped in our bodies oftentimes. You know, we're living in a time of uncertainty. There's a lot of stress. You know, I see people privately, and, you know, the number one thing for sure that people are working with, at least in my medical practice, is stress. You know, stress of money, you know, family, work. And then oftentimes it's sort of funny. It's like we end up, and I think, you know, I work a lot with women, we end up putting self-care on our to-do list as well. And so self-care becomes another stressor too. And so, you know, really these practices of just grounding and calming and letting go, I think are really important. You know, when we're working with this combination of anxiety and fear and speed. So, you know, so then I think a lot of our healing is about coming into right relationship with, you know, with the sort of practice of self-care. So consistency in particular, I think, is sort of how many of the Eastern traditions, you know, point to creating calm and grounding. At least that's been true for me in my relationship to the practices. So, you know, yoga, practices of meditation, but also, you know, consistent self-care practices that are actually really quite simple, I think have the most transformative effects for people. So, you know, what specifically am I referring to? Well, I mean, self-care practices that are consistent, something as simple as drinking water every day, you know, having a regular movement practice, regular sleep times, regular eating patterns. All of these things are things I think that many of us are lacking, and they really have such a deleterious effect on our health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that the key to calm and grounding from your perspective, and especially when I did speak to you last year on the Radical Vitality Summit, there's kind of this misconception of a lot of people come to me saying that they need more energy or they wish they had more energy. Mm-hmm. I think I hear that more than any other complaint lately, like over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's happening is people are not sleeping well, and then they're trying all day long to kind of catch up to having some energy so they can be productive and effective in their day. Then they go back to bed and they have insomnia or sleep problems again. But what you're referring to and what we spoke about last year is when you can just get self-care off of your to-do list and instead have it become woven into a part of who you are and really be consistent with that, more calm and grounding is actually what ends up giving you real energy.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to speak to it, because with your Chinese medicine background and your expertise in yin yoga, and you've also studied Ayurveda, you know, can you give us some really concrete ideas of not only what we can do to create these consistent practices, like ideas, but really the science behind it, like why calm and grounding is going to ultimately give someone energy?
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, in the Chinese medicine system, that sense of calm and grounding is oftentimes the yin, also sometimes the blood, which is also yin. So like you said, yin, it sort of has been really important in my own life and in my practice with clients and students, because yin does provide that sense of, you know, really being here, that sense of deep nourishment. And then the deep nourishment leads to a sense of having more energy, like you mentioned. So, you know, how do we cultivate or build yin or blood? Well, oftentimes they're the practices that move slower. You know, they're restful practices like restorative yoga, practices that really help us to slow down and counteract the activation and the stimulation that we're all experiencing. You know, so even something as simple as really carving out time to be off of social media, to be off of, you know, some of the more stimulating kind of technology that we all have access to. You know, of course, all of those things have their benefits, but it is really important to sort of nourish the yin, which gets depleted when we start to move out into the world, especially through the eyes, you know, looking at the screen. We deplete the yin and the blood when we're really moving outward all the time. So then, you know, the practices of really turning the attention inside help us to build that yin. You know, in the Ayurvedic system, of course, that's more the ojas, this sort of deep energy that we can start to build and we can start to access when we slow down.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I have a question for you. Speaking about blood and nourishment, mm-hmm. And stress, so, you know, it seems like high blood pressure is becoming more and more of this epidemic, and it used to be, at least in my mind, because my dad, when I was 8 years old, he had a massive heart attack and had triple bypass surgery, mm-hmm. and ultimately died of heart disease, and I've had heart disease throughout my family. And I just remember as a child, like high blood pressure, that was always being talked about in his space. And he was a real stocky, thick, fiery guy, you know, mm-hmm. like really earthy and really fiery, like a bear. Mm-hmm. And But I see high blood pressure in lots of clients who are not really thick and stocky, and you don't look at them and think, oh, high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on the connection between like depletion and high blood pressure?
It's a good question. Yeah, I mean, in the Chinese system, there are a lot of different disorders that can come, you know, that can show up through the blood. So sometimes the blood is more depleted. There's a sort of deficiency of blood. Other times it's more about kind of excess patterns like heat or stagnation. So, you know, I mean, stagnation can show up without the person being, you know, particularly dense or thick, like you said, right? I think it's similar in Ayurveda. Where, you know, oftentimes depletion actually can lead to stagnation. So in blood, there's this concept, you know, oftentimes we think of stagnation as an excess, but when the blood is not moving, when there's not enough of the blood to move, then stagnation is caused from that. So, I mean, that also translates into women's health too, right? So oftentimes, you know, women are, you know, experiencing things like cramps or pain or issues of stagnation, but it's actually due to a depletion. So I think, you know, it could be similar to that. But I mean, of course, heart disease, there's a whole other piece around the organ of the heart and sort of excessive patterns that are related that way, like more excess fire usually. Is that similar in Ayurveda? Is that how you would kind of diagnose with the Ayurveda?
Yes. Well, I don't get to call myself a doctor. I'm a certified Ayurvedic practitioner, so I'm not at the level of being able to diagnose. And I'm saying that because I just feel like it's responsible for me to really own that. I would, though, when I'm looking at someone, yes, the heart is definitely... I mean, it's a vata organ, it's a hollow organ because blood runs through it, but it's, you know, it's so connected to blood because of that, because it flows through it. And blood in Ayurveda is a kapha tissue, but when there's a lot of heat, then it's a fire issue. I mean, you've really got to kind of map it out for the individual person in front of you. But I think you answered my question in that, you know, stagnation, which is seen through weight gain, edema, mm-hmm. you know, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. It looks like kapha, mm-hmm. but it often doesn't have a kapha root.
Mm-hmm.
It has a root in depletion. And so I think what you just said, you're basically answering the question for me of depletion leads to stagnation, which is why nourishment is even so high on the list. And it goes back to self-care, that if you have self-care as yet another thing you have to do, that's not self-loving, and that's certainly not really very nourishing, that even if you go and do the self-care, then are you really feeding yourself, like on the level of, you know, beyond food?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think this is a really important point because a lot of the women and men who come to see us have stagnation issues, like that's their symptom, but the underlying cause is more around depletion. And this is, I think, really why you and I were brainstorming about C as being such an important topic to share in this summit. And so let's kind of circle back to just the whole idea of consistency and how you lead your clients and your patients in creating, say, a consistent morning practice and even an evening practice. And I'd also love, since we're talking about calm and grounding, what maybe evening practices some could support someone in having a better night of sleep. And if there's other things that they could be doing during the day that would really lead them in that direction, just small little tweaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think one way that both of these systems really shine is when it comes to seasonal transition. So that's a really easy way that people can start to work with, you know, daily habits and how habits and routines, they do change, but at a much slower pace oftentimes. So of course, right now it's spring. And so, you know, I've been really encouraging students, and actually I have a little online thing that people could sign up for called the 7 Days of Spring right now on my site, where I talk all about using seasonal transition as a time to really sort of amp up our habits, get regular with our routines. So in particular, in the spring, of course, energy wants to move. So it's perfect that we're talking about stagnation, because really, you know, through the winter, of course, we're moving a little bit slower, we're eating heavier foods. And then in the spring, we want to start to get moving a little bit to move that excess ama, or what we call damp in the Chinese system, a sense of stagnation. And so we do this by eating more green foods. We do this by doing maybe like a twisting yoga practice, eating a little bit more pungent flavors, something like radishes would be good. Also more like the bitter leafy greens, right? Everything that's sort of popping up through the ground right now. So what we can see more in the Chinese system is the springtime is related to the liver and gallbladder. And the liver and gallbladder are one of those organ systems that easily become stagnated. Liver energy wants to move, right? So if you think about the seasons, we're moving from the time of winter, and now it's the time when the buds are bursting through the ground. There's this creative impulse that the natural world is expressing. Energy wants to move. But if the energy doesn't move, if it's stuck somehow, stagnation is created. And when energy is not moving and stagnation is created, we start to experience tension, sort of aggravation, irritation, anger. All of these emotions and you know, expressions are definitely linked to the liver and gallbladder. So, you know, this time of year, we might start to experience more of those emotions. So moving that stagnation is just us coming more into harmony with the season. So even just, you know, developing a regular habit of this time of year, integrating those green foods a little bit, and a few of the other things I mentioned. Now, as far as, you know, specifics, like you mentioned, evening routines, you know, I think our day really does start the night before. You know, many listeners have probably heard that before, that really we want to set ourselves up for success with our bedtime routine. And, you know, in particular, I find it really helpful to have the largest meal of the day at lunch, which is sort of counter to, you know, our Western understanding. But if we have a sort of earlier dinner, we're able to then fully digest our food, maybe even like a dinner that's a little bit lighter. We are able to fully digest our food before we go to bed. And then in the morning, we don't have that excess damp or ama in the Ayurvedic system that we have to sort of deal with. So we'll wake up much lighter and brighter. And then, of course, you know, the Ayurvedic system talks a lot about going to bed earlier. So really following the cycles of the sun. You know, I mean, I live up here in Canada, so the sun starts to stay out later and later at night. So I still encourage my patients to go to bed even earlier than when the sun goes down here.
Right.
But still, I think it is important to go to bed early and then wake up earlier and follow the sort of cycle of the natural world that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a huge difference. And then when you're in the habit of going to bed earlier and waking up earlier, the sleep that you get before midnight, in my opinion, is worth way more than the sleep you get after midnight, like in terms of how refreshed you feel the next day. But you also start to naturally feel more winded down by the end of the day, like after dinner, than when you're kind of used to staying up until 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, where you're just kind of fighting the tired even if it comes.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, both of these systems that we're talking about, they're both really, they both really point to just paying attention. you know, when we pay attention to our natural energy patterns, you know, we feel tired in the evening. We feel that natural downturn of energy. And so if we can pay attention to that and follow that, balance is available. You know, harmony in the body already exists. I think we just have to sort of tap into it.
Well, how, I'm still curious about, I want to talk more about insomnia. I just think that this is something that bothers a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I want to know how we can, your perspective on how we can help people who are suffering from that, because mm-hmm. it can take a little bit of time to get into this rhythm. So this is definitely something to move towards, even if you do it gradually. Like if right now you go to bed at midnight, you're mm-hmm. going to try to go to bed at 11:45 p.m. for a week or two, and then you'll aim for 11:30 p.m., right? Like just going gradually so it's not black or white, all or nothing.
Yeah.
But what about someone who's like, okay, I'm already doing this. I go to bed at 10, and then every night I wake up at 1:30 or 3 o'clock, you know, like yeah. longer liver time. How can we support them from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different directions to take this. You know, of course, it depends on a person's constitution and their daily habits, their diet, their history. So there's a lot there. But, you know, a few sort of specific things is just, you know, first of all, really simple things like, are they consuming stimulants? Right. So any kind of coffee or other caffeine products definitely need to be cut out if there's insomnia, or at least consumed much earlier in the day. You know, and then it, of course, it would be about sort of looking at the specific patterns of the person. So if there's depletion, then like we spoke about, really nourishing that depletion. So building up the blood with some of the slower moving practices in the evening. So winding down, getting off technology, getting off the screen, doing a restorative practice, these sorts of things. And over time, right, like you mentioned, these things don't happen right away. So making the transition really slowly and integrating the practices, it will take some time. And then, you know, if there's more stagnation, it's like, okay, how much physical activity is happening? So maybe getting a little bit more exercise during the day will help. There are definitely a lot of herbal medicines and supplements that could be included. Yeah, I mean, it's a little difficult to kind of go into specific, you know, sort of diagnosis.
Oh, sure. No, yeah. Don't go into diagnosis, but just helpful things. Like, what do you think about magnesium?
It works for some people. It works for some people for sure. Others don't so much find that it's very helpful. So, of course, it will depend on whether the person is depleted in magnesium.
Right. And I mean, because magnesium is what we use up when we're under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So I guess we could also look at it like, how stressed are you versus just how much are you maybe using too many stimulants or staying too long on your screen or yeah. letting your mind really go into a worried state, because that's often what happens with insomnia, is someone who's just wakes up because they're worried
mm-hmm.
or anxious.
Yeah. I mean, I think last time we spoke, we might have talked a little bit about adaptogens. You know, I really love adaptogens because they're just so useful for so many people. So for listeners, you know, adaptogens are herbs or plants that help us to adapt, basically adapt to stress, adapt to a changing environment. And they really, you know, sort of well-known regulators. So they help us to sort of mitigate the effects of stress. So, you know, oftentimes I recommend reishi mushroom. It's very, very powerful herb, but also quite safe, quite non-toxic, really helpful for so many people. It's a very grounding mushroom that's used in the Chinese medicine system, but also, you know, very much used in Western herbology as well. And many clients of mine really find reishi helpful. So that's an option, you know, is to start to include some of the adaptogens that really help. Because that's at a certain point, you know, our nervous system just kind of goes on hyperdrive. And then it doesn't matter, you know, the amount of deep breathing and, you know, trying to relax that we do. If the nervous system is so activated that we're waking up, that we're really not having, you know, a good time sleeping, then maybe we need some outside help. So then we bring in the that sort of class of plants to really start to encourage a sense of grounding. And the nourishment.
I love that you...
I know you talk so much about nourishment and how important it is. So some of the adaptogen plants are really helpful at nourishing.
I love that you brought that in. I don't think anyone has mentioned adaptogens in the summit yet, and they're one of my favorite herbal groups. And I love that you say herbs. It's so exotic. It's Canadian exotic.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of bringing in some outside help, your free gift could be the outside help that a lot of our listeners could use. If anyone listening to this is suffering from insomnia, I'll tell you one thing that I've had the worst insomnia I've ever had, because I'm a pretty good sleeper. I'm Vata Kapha, and my Kapha really helps me sleep well enough that when I was a camp counselor, I slept through my girls having a party with all the boys and music and popcorn and candy. Like, I slept through the entire thing. They thought I was the greatest camp counselor ever. I'm like, oh. But when I've been in heartbreak, insomnia has been really intense. And so I have like a lot of, like a strong memory of that. Mm-hmm. And I've often used guided meditations as, in fact, primarily as the way to get through that, get through a sleepless night, because it gets me in touch with my breath. There's someone else's voice. I don't feel like I'm so alone. There's someone who's really there with me in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And you have given us a guided meditation and a yoga class. So on Jennifer's speaker page, everyone, you'll see this when you go to, you know, it's where you found the interview that you're listening to right now. But Jennifer's free gift would be so amazing, because she is such a good yoga teacher, and you have a great voice and you're very soothing. And you also have an understanding of what it means to be grounded on this deeper level. And I think that informs the way that you lead your meditation. So I'm very excited about that gift. Thank you for that. Yeah. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is there any, do you have any last thoughts you want to leave everybody with around our theme of consistency, the key to calm and grounding?
No, I think, you know, I think that's about it. I would just say, you know, I think it's just so important for all of us to be easy with ourselves. You know, we can really, like I said at the beginning, we can really start to create just another to-do list with all of this. I see, especially women in my practice every day, who are just so hard on themselves around like not getting it all right, you know, really trying to have it all and be it all. And of course, that leads to exhaustion. And you know, it's just so important to give ourselves a little bit of space and time to just be, and that can be the first step to self-care. It can be as simple as that, and that of course, that really leads to calming and grounding.
Yeah, and making that non-negotiable. That's my two cents.
Yeah,
to add to that.
We're it's an ongoing process. We're all working.
Yes,
we're all working on it. It's you know, I think it's a cultural phenomena right now. So we're all doing the best we can.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say super quick what I meant by non-negotiable is, because it's so easy, like you said, with to-do lists, to put other people's needs before your own, or just feeling obligated to other things and other people. And when you just have the mindset of, if you created a space in your calendar, even if it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes, to work on having it be a non-negotiable you time, as if you had an appointment for somebody else at that same time that you wouldn't break, mm-hmm. so that you don't break the promise and the commitment to yourself, at least most of the time.
That's
just my two cents, because I think it's really easy to let things go, and then, you know, a year or two goes by and you're like, I haven't even been to a yoga class in 2 years, which mm-hmm. I don't think is our audience, but, you know, this is like, you know, my intention for this, creating this summit, is this is a global movement around deeper self-care, and that it doesn't have to be this big, hard, messy thing. It can be just these really simple shifts in the way we think and treat ourselves that make a gigantic difference.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my dear, thank you so much for being a part of this. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on The Life-Changing Power of Ayurveda. Namaste.
Namaste.